Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Because you get to.
Oh yeah, you learn a lot.
Yeah. So that's another place I got to be.
Yeah. So Rutgers Island.
Yeah.
Normally, would you say that you do Hanukkah before Hanukkah? Normally I set up things and then I don't move it after I light it. So after the normal case that you'll do...
First you would start with Hanocha, and then you do Adlocha. That's if you take the Girsa. Now, I don't know if you were here yesterday, Steve, when we discussed there's another Girsa in the Gemara. So again, if you want to maintain our Girsa, the Gemara, then the Gemara assumes, and this you'll see on Chav Beis Amit Beis, going on to Chav Gimel Amit Aleph, that... First we do what's called Hanocha, and then we do Adlocha. Menicha umadlika. That's what it says on Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph. That's the girsa that we have in the text. Which is a little bit strange, because the Gemara assumes that you're making a bracha on Hanocha, and yet, what are you putting down over here? There's no Adlocha. So therefore, there's another girsa in the Gemara, which apparently was accepted by many Rishonim, and that Girsa has Madlika Umenicha, the opposite sequence, which makes sense, because once you do that look, and now you're ready for the Iker Mitzvah, which is the Hanocha. Okay. Now, yesterday we started the Tosas Mai Havi Allah on Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis, and I told you that we really have to wait till the end of the sugi in order to complete this Tosfos. So let me just show you where we got up to in this Tosfos, and then we'll continue on Daf Chav Gimel. So we're up to about line 7 in Tosfos Divrei Maskil Mai Havi Allah, and the line begins with the word Chayshinon, and we're looking for Umasik. Okay, then Umasik. So what we have now is the following.
In a small cum, it's in the wider.
Again, there's a Tosfos Mai Havi Allah, which is totally wide in my text. Yeah. Maybe you have a different text.
I don't know.
Yeah. On Chav Bet Amid Bet, 22b,
right.
Tosfos on the bottom right, Mai Havi Allah.
Bottom right.
Okay then? And you'll count down around 7-8 lines. You'll see a line that starts with Chayshinon, and we're up to the word Umasik. Umasik.
Fourth word in. Yeah,
sorry. Dadloka osa mitzvah. The final maskana is that hadloka osa mitzvah, and therefore vishari. Vishari means that you're allowed to be madlik miner liner. Because again, we don't have a problem of bizui mitzvah if you hold hadloka osa mitzvah, because the very second that you're lighting the other candle, then immediately you have a Ner Chanukah. And if you have a Ner Chanukah immediately, then there's no Bizui Mitzvah here. The problem of Bizui Mitzvah would be if you hold Hanochos a Mitzvah, but now we're holding Lamaskona Hadlokos a Mitzvah. That's what we have so far. Okay. Now Tosa says, Inami Motsosi B'Shem Rivam. Tosa says, I found an alternative interpretation of the sugya in the name of the Rivam, one of the Baliat Tosas.
Are these books still in existence, or are these books that they had that disappeared?
For that you have to read a book by a professor Auerbach called Baliat Tosas. The Baliat Tosas were written over the course of centuries. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many Baliat Tosas, many of the manuscripts are gone. So we rely on one Rishon who quotes another Rishon. So the Rivam is quoted often by Tosfos. So let's see what if we can work out what the Rivam has to say. Now you see a Dalet. You see the Dalet of Dimi Boy. Okay? So let's see what this Dalet has within it. You know, what does it contain within it? He says the following: Dili Olam Yeshlomer de Hilchas Ahacha Kavasei de Shmuel. Now Tosfos is going back to the original premise of Tosfos at the beginning of this Tosfos when he raised the question Tamar, and that is that we paskin based on the tradition of Rabbah, like Shmuel, And therefore, even in the case of a kisem, even in a case which, according to Rav, would be bizui mitzvah, we pass like Shmuel, there's no bizui mitzvah. But if that be the case, then we're back to square one, and we have to ask that question again. What is the Gemara saying, my Havialo? My Havialo seems to say, we don't know what the final conclusion is, la'alocha. So now we get to the rest of the Rivam. He says, Miboile, what is the Gemara asking? Aliba de Shmuel de Hilchasa Kavase. We definitely accept Shmuel la'alocha. But what and how far did Shmuel go? Ishari bekinsa ilo. The Gemara wants to know, my Havialo, do we accept the extreme kula shita of Shmuel? That means the machlokshin Ram and Shmuel is about bizu mitzvah through a kisem and Shmuel was mekil. Or do we accept the machlokas as a kushe mitzvah, which means that Shmuel agrees that to use a kisem is asur? And now the Rivam analyzes the two possibilities. Miboile e kaimalon. Do we accept kamosha omra lamala, like the Gemara says upstairs? And this is in the name of the Talmud of Rav Ada Bar Avva, that the Lamandi Omer, according to Rav, who says, Eimad Lika Miner Liner, Mishum Bizi Mitzvah. In other words, we're talking about a case where he lights the Ner, the second Ner, through a medium of a Kisem, and that's called Bizi Mitzvah. Ishari Lahadlik Miner Liner LeRav. But if you would to light the second Nair directly, then even Rav would agree. V'im kein b'kinsa pligi. So the machlok shin Rav and Shmuel now is about kinsa. V'shari Shmuel b'kinsa. And if we're passing like Shmuel, it means you're allowed to even use a kinsa. Oh, Dilma. Perhaps the second possibility is lo kaimalon hachi. We're not going to accept the principle of the Talmud of Rabbi Ada that the machlok shin Rav and Shmuel is about the case of a kinsa and about bizui mitzvah. But rather, Rav prohibits miner liner. Miner liner nami ikum mishum bizui mitzvah v'asa Rav. Again, the language in Tos is a little bit strange here. He says bizui mitzvah. We're really not talking about bizui mitzvah. We're talking about akushi mitzvah. But in any event, Rav prohibits even the direct lighting from one ner to the other. And therefore, the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel is only about direct lighting. And Shmuel was mekil on direct lighting. He never went as far as to allow you to use a kisem. That's the suffix in this Gemara. Now, keep in mind, if we assume that, like Rav Ada Bar Avva's girsa, that the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel is about direct lighting from one ner to the other, and Rav is saying you're not allowed to light one Hanukkah candle directly from the other, then we have a big problem about the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, because the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was lit directly from one candle to the other. That's what the Ner Maravi function. And the Gemara said, based on that kasha v'kasha, that we don't have an answer to that. So this is a bit strange, that even after kasha v'kasha, the Gemara is raising the possibility that we're not going to derive any conclusions about Ner L'Ner from the menorah. And therefore, Rav Shita of Ner L'Ner is still a valid Shita, and Rav prohibits Miner L'Ner, and Shmuel allows it. So he's saying the following, that perhaps, according to this side in the Gemara, there's no proof from the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because it's possible that Hanocha Osa Mitzvah. And if Hanocha Osa Mitzvah, then you have no proof from the menorah. So again, before we understand what Tosfos is saying, let's just get the structure or the mathematics of Tosfos. Tosfos is saying the following, that there is a possibility to say that the machlokas shin Rav and Shmuel is about direct lighting, and Shmuel would agree that through a kinsa it's asur, and that's one side of the Gemara's suffix. The Gemara is vacillating about that. And now Tosfos says that the possibility to justify Rav's position that you're not allowed to light one ner from the other, despite the fact that in the menorah and Mikdash they did in fact light one ner from the other, is by introducing the opinion of Hanocha Osa Mitzvah. If we assume, this is the mathematics of Tosfos, that Hanocha Osa Mitzvah, then you don't prove anything from the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Why not? So let's underline the next three words. Lo dami le menorah. Okay, those are the three key words. So when you look at this Tosfos, your eye should catch those three words. Lo dami le menorah, which means that the Ner Chanukah is not similar to the menorah. Why? In the case of the menorah, the hadlaka was the mitzvah, meaning the very moment that you lit the candle, that was the mitzvah. But in the case of Ner Chanukah, the mitzvah is not fulfilled until hanacha, until a later stage when you place it in its right, in its proper location. Therefore, it's very possible to say that the machlokas shin Rav and Shmuel is about a case where you light ner l'ner directly from one ner l'ner. V'dafka mi ner l'ner shari Shmuel. Shmuel is going to allow only the case of ner l'ner. Aval bekinsa afilu Shmuel moda diosu. Why? Because we're going to maintain now that hanochah is a mitzvah, and therefore there's no proof from ner shebemigdash. Meaning, although in the Migdash, they lit directly from one Ner to the other Ner, that's not going to help us for Ner Chanukah, because we're holding Hanochah as a mitzvah. Now let's just review what we said yesterday. The logic that we spent a lot of time on yesterday is that if Hanochah is a mitzvah, then when you light one Ner Chanukah from another Ner Chanukah, at this point the second Ner that you're trying to light up does not have the status of a Ner Chanukah. Why not?
Because it's not in his place.
Excellent. He hasn't done Hanochah yet. So Kolzman, he hasn't done Hanochah. The candle is not an Ner Chanukah. It becomes an Ner Chanukah with Hanochah if you hold Hanochah as a mitzvah. And therefore, we have a problem because now we have a Bizui mitzvah issue. Oh,
right. So,
why? Because you're using a Ner Chanukah, which is in its place, to light up something that's not a Ner Chanukah, because it's before the Hanochah.
Okay.
And that second Ner, since before the Hanochah, and it doesn't have the status of a Ner Chanukah, is now a Ner Shel Chol, and that's called Bizui Mitzvah.
Okay.
So now the possibility exists the following, that in the case of Ner Chanukah, to light directly from one Ner to the other Ner is going to be a problem because we're holding Hanochos and Mitzvah, and that's called Bizui Mitzvah, because the second Ner is not yet a Ner Chanukah prior to Hanochah. In the case of the Beis HaMikdash, we have no problem lighting one Ner to the other directly because Hadlokos and Mitzvah. And therefore, since Hadlokos and Mitzvah, there's no Bizui Mitzvah, because the very split second that you light the candle on the Mizrach side, it became a Ner Shebemikdash. So if that be the case, then the Gemara's proof, the analogy between Ner L'Ner and Chanukah, Ner L'Ner in Menorah, in Mikdash, is not a fair analogy. So that even though in fact they would allow you in the Mikdash to fulfill the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaNer by lighting one Ner directly from another Ner, that doesn't prove anything about Chanukah, where there's an issue of Bizui Mitzvah, because in the Chanukah we can hold that Hanochah is a mitzvah. So you have the mathematics. Again, if you hold Hanochos a mitzvah, that generates Bizui mitzvah, even in the case where you're lighting one Ner Chanukah directly from the other. Shmuel's going to be Mekil, and he's going to allow for lighting one Ner Chanukah from the other. He doesn't hold that's Bizui mitzvah, but in the case where he uses a Kisev, even Shmuel would agree that there's Bizui mitzvah. And therefore, according to this side in the Gemara, we're going to say that Shmuel, that we pass like Shmuel, that there is a problem in lighting the menorah through a kisem because of Bizui Mitzvah. And the only argument between Shmuel and Rav is in the case where you light directly Miner L'Ner. Rav didn't allow you, in the case of Ner Chanukah, to light Ner L'Ner. And the reason for that is because Hanochah is a mitzvah. And if Hanochah is a mitzvah, automatically that means you have a Bizui Mitzvah problem, because the second Ner that you're lighting is not a Ner Chanukah prior to Hanochah. And the Gemara has no proof now from Ner Shebemigdash, because Ner Shebemigdash is Hadlokos a mitzvah, and therefore there's no Bizui mitzvah problem. So that's what he says over here. But Dafka Miner L'Ner, Shari Shmuel was argued with Rav about Ner L'Ner. Now I'm not sure exactly why Shmuel argues about Ner L'Ner. Is he holding now Hadlokos a mitzvah, and it's exactly similar to the Beis HaMikdash, or he holds that even if it's Hanochos a mitzvah, it's still not considered Bizui mitzvah for some reason, which I don't know why. He says, Aval bekinsa afilu Shmuel moda de'aser. If we're assuming the Machlokes Shin Rav and Shmuel is in the case of Ner L'Ner directly, then in the case of kinsa, even Shmuel would agree that it's aser. Umasik, and the final conclusion of the Gemara according to the Rivam's Pshat, means now everything hinges on whether Hadlokos a mitzvah, Hanochos a mitzvah. The Iboilon the Ifshita. We had a suffix with Hadlokos a mitzvah, Hanochos a mitzvah, Ifshita. We came to a definite conclusion. And what was the definite conclusion? The Hadlokos a mitzvah. Right? We proved it from the fact that the bracha is Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. And also, we proved it, let's just remind ourselves, from the fact that if he uses an ashishis, he's got to, and it lasts for the next, it lasts 24 hours till the next day of Hanukkah, he's got to put it out and rekindle it. So all the various proofs that establish lamaskana that we paskin that adlokos and mitzvah. Oh, if we're going to paskin adlokos and mitzvah, then we have a proof from Ner Shebimigdash, which is an irrevocable proof, and Rav is going to have to, he's going to have to accept that proof that you can light Diner Chanukah directly one from the other. Because again, now there's an absolute equation between Ner Shebimigdash and Ner Chanukah. Both are premised on Hadlokos and Mitzvah, and yet you can light directly from one candle to the other. And therefore, Rav is going to have to backtrack now, and he's going to have to admit that, yeah, Madlikim Miner Liner. And the Machlokas now between Rav and Shmuel is only going to be on the case of Kinsa. And therefore, Tosus says, Madlikim LeRav Miner Liner. If you're directly lighting one candle, one Chanukah candle for the other, you can do that. Kumo, just like we found in the menorah. Because the menorah now becomes the paradigm of Hadlokka Miner Liner, and Rav is going to have to backtrack and admit that there is a heter of lighting Miner Liner. Oh, so where is the machlokas now between Rav and Shmuel? It's going to be in the case of Kisem. Shmuel afilu bekinsa shari. So the final maskon according to Tosus is that you're allowed to light your Ner Chanukah even with a kinsa. So you're lighting one Ner to another with this wood chip, and there's no problem with Vizu Mitzvah because we pass it like Shmuel, and the ends justify the means. The only problem is going to be that the Rambam paskins that you're only allowed to light Miner Liner. And the question is going to be how to square the Rambam. But, you know, it doesn't mean that the Rambam is committed to the pshat of the Rivam, which is the second pshat in Tosfos. Let's go back to the first pshat in Tosfos. Before the Rivam, he says, Miboilei hanochos of mitzvah yosel rav miner liner. Okay, that's going to be awesome because hanochos of mitzvah, and then it's bizu mitzvah, kemo bekinsa, o adlokos of mitzvah v'shari kemo b'nora. The lo chai shin in lachushe mitzvah masik that lokos a mitzvah v'shari, so miner liner is mutter. But now at this point, Tosus is raising the possibility that we accept Rav lahalocha, and if we accept Rav lahalocha, we're going to allow direct lighting miner liner. Why? Because had lokos a mitzvah. Now we have the equation to ner shebimigdash. But in the case of kinsa, it's going to be also. So the Rambam might accept the first pshat of Tosus, whereas the Rivam reinterprets the Gemara, and the final maskon is that afilu bekinsa shari. Okay, then that's what we have.
Does Hushi Mitzvah also fall?
Say again.
Hushi Mitzvah also fall away as well. Oh, we say they're the same.
Yeah, it's interesting that the concept of Akhushi Mitzvah seems to completely fall by the wayside in this Tosfos. And the reason for that is because in Ner Shebimigdash. In Ner Shebimigdash, where they use the Ner Ma'arovi to light the other candles, what happened to Akushe Mitzvah? Mm-hmm. Now you could say that there's no Akushe Mitzvah in the case of the Ner Shebimigdash because of the miracle that the Shemen lasted even longer than it should have lasted based on nature. But then again, we had a Machlokes Rishonim whether all the candles were lit from the Ner Ma'arovi or only the two candles on the Mizrach and on the Meiriv, you know, because that depends on the Machlokes Rebbe and Chachom and where the Ner Ma'arovi was situated. But be that as it may, since in the Migdash they lit the menorah Ner to Ner directly, so the Akushe Mitzvah seems to fall apart. It's dropped on the wayside. That was the Kasha of Akasha. Now we have to ask the question, but what about the problem of Bizu Mitzvah?
Okay.
Now Bizu Mitzvah comes an issue. And why does Bizu become Mitzvah? Because Hanochos of Mitzvah. That's the way the Rivam understands it. So again, let's go over the Rivam and let's go over the Tosfos. I want to start the new sugya for today, but the Rivam is holding that the equation between Ner Shebimigdash and Ner Chanukah, which would allow you a direct lighting from Ner Liner, would only make sense if in Ner Chanukah had Lokos of Mitzvah. But if we're Ner Chanukah Nochos of Mitzvah, then lighting directly one Ner Chanukah from another becomes Bizu Mitzvah because you haven't yet done the Hanochah. According to the first Pshat in Tosfos, the Gemara is vacillating back and forth whether Hanochos of Mitzvah, which means that if Hanochos of Mitzvah, Rav would say that it's also to be Madlik Miner Liner, And again, if you'll ask me a kasha from Ner Sheva Migdash, the answer is going to be that Ner Sheva Migdash is based on hadlokos of mitzvah. Oh, hadlokos of mitzvah, v'shari kamo b'ner chanukah, d'lo chashiron l'kchushei mitzvah, because we've already proven from the menorah that there's no svar of a kchushei mitzvah, and then Rav would allow lighting directly miner l'ner. So basically, we come out according to the first pshat in Tosfos, that to light a menorah, a Chanukah, a candle through a kisma is definitely asur, because we don't accept Shmuel, we accept Rav. Now the question is, can we light one Ner Chanukah directly from the other Ner Chanukah? And Rav seems to prohibit it. And if we're going to pass it like Rav, that should be asur. So the Gemara says that depends on whether Hadlokah Osa Mitzvah or Hanocha Osa Mitzvah. Because if you hold Hanocha Osa Mitzvah, then what comes out front stage is Bizui Mitzvah, and therefore you can't light from one candle to the other. But the Gemara's final maskon is that Hadlokah Osa Mitzvah. And if Hadlokah Osa Mitzvah, you could light one candle directly from the other, and then we have the paradigm of Ner Sheva Migdash.
I thought you said you can use.
It depends. Are you in the Rivam or are you in the first day in Tosfos? There's a basic machlokas in Tosfos. Yesterday we studied the first part of Tosfos. That's what I call the anonymous Tosfos, not in the name of any particular Baal Tosfos. And that's before the Rivam. Today we dedicated ourselves to finish up this Tosfos and understand the Rivam. So the Rivam's conclusion, which you can underline in the last four words of Tosfos, is that Ulishmuel Afilu Bekinsa Shari. Which means that according to the Rivam, the premise is that we paskin like Shmuel. And if we paskin like Shmuel, now our whole issue, my Avi Allah, is which Shmuel are we accepting? The first version of Shmuel, the second version of Shmuel? And since we come to the conclusion that Hanocha, that Hadlokos of Mitzvah, therefore we have the equation to Ner Sheva Migdash, and we could light, definitely could light from directly from Ner to Ner, says the Rivam, what are we going to do with Rav? The answer is we're going to have to take the first version of Rav, that Rav certainly would allow lighting Ner l'Ner. Rav only prohibited in the case of a Kisam. And on that Shmuel said, there's no Bizui Mitzvah and it's Mutter. Says Tosa, since that's the Rivam Shita we paskin like Shmuel, therefore the Maskona is that you're allowed to use a Kisam. That's all according to whom? The Rivam. But now let's go back to yesterday's discussion. That was before the Rivam. And now Tosas assumes that we paskin like Rav. Well, if we paskin like Rav, then there's going to be a problem with Kisan, because that's Bizui Mitzvah. Even though Rav again is going to backtrack on Minel in there, he's going to have to rescind that position that Rav Adi Bar Rava presented, because we have an upslug, we have a complete contradiction to Rav from Ner Sheva Migdash. And our maskana is that in Chanukah, Adlokos of this, which means that grants us the analogy between Ner Sheva Migdash and Ner Chanukah. Once you have that analogy, Rav has to backtrack, retreat from his original position and agree that Miner Liner is Mutter. Then Rav's position is that Al Yidei Kisem is Osir. That's where he argued with Shmuel. And therefore, Rav says that this Bizui Mitzvah, the case of Kisem, and we pass him like Rav. That's the first sheet in Tosfos. We pass him like Rav, then Kisem is awesome.
Now yesterday...
Wait, Mitch wanted to say something.
Always coming in the wrong day.
We've been working on this for days. I apologize.
What is the act of Hanukkah? Do we do that? Do such a thing today?
Well, we pass in Hadlokos of Mitzvah, but if you hold Hanukkos of Mitzvah, yesterday we had a whole discussion. It depends on two Girsos and the Rishonim. One Girsa has it that you place the Nair down and then you light it. The other Mandiomer says, no, you light it first and then you place it down. But that's all if you hold Hanochos a mitzvah. If you hold Hadlokos a mitzvah, then just do the Hadlokah. There's no significance to Hanochos.
We don't do Hanochos.
We don't have Hanochos in our Halacha L'mais. Everything in our Halacha depends upon the Hadlokah. And Tosfos points out, and it's based on the Gemara here in Chav Gimel that we did yesterday, that in the case of Cherishot V'Katan, you have no option to salvage that hadlokah. You have to blow it out and rekindle it. Why? Because especially if you hold on no chos of mitzvah, I don't care about the hadlokah. And therefore, even if the hadlokah was invalid, it was chereshot v'kot, and I, as a goal, just simply take that near Chanukah, place it in the right location, and I'm yotze, that's called no chos of mitzvah. We had a problem in the case where he himself lit the candle inside the house. That was the issue. But if you're going to paskin hadlokos a mitzvah and the chereshot v'kotin is invalid, then the fact that I pick up this nair and I put it down, that's not going to give me the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is inherent in the hadlok. So what we're familiar with, for two reasons, is this concept called hadlaka of the mitzvah. Number one, we're familiar because of the nusach avrocha, asher kinshanu mitzvah sitzvanu lahadlik ner chanukah. The Gemara insists that if you hold hadlaka of the mitzvah, the bracha is a different bracha, asher kinshanu mitzvah sitzvanu laniach ner chanukah. And secondly, because of the statement of Rav Yeshua ben Levi going on to the top of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph about Ashishis. Ashishis, we said, or actually it's Ashoshis, was a large vessel that had lots and lots of oil, and it could last even more than 24 hours. And now it's not enough to have this candle that you lit yesterday for tonight, because we don't pass like Hanoch Osa Mitzvah. You're going to have to put it out and rekindle it, because Hadlok Osa Mitzvah, meaning the Hadlok of yesterday, is not valid for today. Each day is Mechayv a new Mitzvah Hadlokah. So the fact that I was Mechayv a Mitzvah Hadlokah yesterday with this very same Nair is not going to exempt me from the Mitzvah Hadlokah on this new day. Every new day is exactly that, is a new day. So where are you up to today, Rav Osai? We are up to Omer Av Sheshes. No, I'm sorry. My mistake. We're up to Isha. Okay, let's see if we can find this in the Gemara. If you're counting down, Don, are you with me here? Because we're on Daf 23H. Chaf Gimel Omer Aleph. You have that?
Yeah.
And you're counting down from the top of the Omud. Let's count it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines down. How do you like that? We have a round number today. 10 lines down. The first word in the line is what?
V'katan.
Okay, continue.
Okay, V'katan is the first word in the line.
I see.
Okay, now you slide your finger across the line, because these are the computers, and you get to the word Isha.
It's the same whether I have the computer or the printed page.
Okay. No, but somehow with computers, they always say slide your finger.
Oh, I see, okay.
I don't know if you have self-park.
I slide the finger,
you know,
the
you park
page.
The car.
Yeah, if I slide
I slide about 50 times until finally it registers.
If I slide my finger on the computer, the whole page disappears, the new page.
Oh, no, so okay, we don't want that. No, no sliding, no backsliding. Alright. Okay. So now we just established that hadlaka osa mitzvah, and therefore hidlika chereshot v'katan lo osa v'lo klum. And now you'll tell me that chereshot v'katan is what's called a lav bar chiyuva, meaning he, the cheresh, or the katan, or the shota, is not obligated in the mitzvah of ner chanukah, because therefore their hadlaka would be meaningless. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. We cannot validate the hadlaka of someone who's a lav bar chiyuva. What about an Isha? Comes along Rabbi Shuv ben Levi and he says, don't think that a woman has the same status as a Chereshot V'Kot, that she's a Lav Bar Chiyuva. Why would that thought even occur to you? Why does Rabbi Shuv ben Levi have to knock that out of your brain?
Mitzvah Seh Grama.
Excellent, because Ner Chanukah is a classical case of a Mitzvah Seh Shazman Grama. Which means, the premise is that Mitzvah Seh Shazman Grama applies not only to a Mitzvah D'Oraisa, but to a Mitzvah D'Rabbanan. And this we're going to have, according to the Ramban's famous Shita, that tefillah three times a day is only derabbanan. Again, the Rambam disagrees. But according to the Shita of Ramban, women are going to be exempt from davening three times a day. Why? Because those three times are time-bound mitzvahs, even though the Ramban's Shita is that three times a day is derabbanan. But just like in the case of a d'oraisa, if it's a time-bound mitzvah, women are exempt. So too, likewise, in the case of a d'rabbanan, women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs. The only exception is going to be the principle called af hein hayu ba'osai mes. And that principle, which I'll explain in just a minute, applies in three cases, all of which are d'rabbanan. Number one, it applies to dalid kosos on Leil Pesach. It applies to Purim, to reading the Megillah on Purim, and number three, it applies to Ner Chanukah. Now again, there are two elements that are common to all these three cases that I mentioned, Dalit Kosos, Megillah, and Chanukah. They're all Drabbanan, and they're all time-bound. Therefore, all of these should be obligatory only to men, and women should be exempt, based on the principle that Zman Grama exempts women even from Drabbanans. But here the Drabbanan introduced a new svara, which is called Af Hein Hayu Bosones. So let's read it inside. The Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, Noshim Chayavos Biner Chanukah She'af Hein Hayu Bioso Hanes. Okay. What does this mean? Af Hein Hayu Bioso Hanes. So literally translated, they were included in the miracle. Now, Rashi is going to learn that they were included in the great miracle because they were included in the Gzeirah of the Yevanim. And you might say that they were included in the Gzeirah of the Yevanim means in the Milchama, but that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the battlefield, but we're talking about some sort of a Gzeirah which the Yevanim introduced against the women folk. And you may recall about a week or two ago that we read the Rambam in his introduction to Hilchos Chanukah, where he said, and he talks about the agenda of the Yevanim, and he says, "Vishalchu yodam divno sehem." And this is the famous Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Ksubos. I don't know how many of you may have learned Masechta Ksubos, which is called Tiboil Lehegmon Tchila. Now Rashi quotes this Gemara on line 3. He has a slightly different text. He doesn't have Liboil Lehegmon Tchila, but 3 lines down from the top he has Letafsar Tchila. So Tafsar is a synonymous word for Hegmon. And this was the Sar, this was the officer. And there's a fancy Latin word for this, which I don't remember. If anybody remembers, you'll tell me. But this was the Gzeirah of the Yevanim. They were famous for this, that a woman who got married for the first time, she had to submit herself first to the hegemon. This was the anti-Semitic Gzeirah here. But again, it might have been a Gzeirah that was instituted against the Goyim as well. If I want to mention a real anti-Semite, I'll mention to Mel Gibson. Have you ever heard of Mel Gibson? Mm-hmm. Brave New World. So again, I'm not going to tell you to read that, to see that, because anyone who saw that movie will probably have nightmares from that movie for the rest of his life. But in any event, this Gzeirah that we're talking about here, which is at the beginning of Ksubos, appears in high profile in that movie.
What movie?
It's called Brave New World. Braveheart, maybe it's called?
Braveheart, which is about the Highlanders?
No. So I'll get the name for you later. We don't usually talk about movies in class.
Yeah, I know.
But in that,
you raised.
Yeah, you know, it's my fault. So, but I'm just saying, in that movie, you know, you'll see this Tiboil Hegmon Tchila there. That's one of the first parts of the movie there. Terrible thing. In any event. So the women folk were also subject to this decree, this horrible decree of the Yevanim, and therefore the miracle and the salvation was as important to the women folk as it was to the men folk. I mean, you and I might have said, well, we don't need that Gzeirah, we could have just spoken about the military campaign. But that's what we have here. Now the other Shita is the Shita of the Rashbam, which doesn't appear here. It appears in Masechta Psachim, and there he says, Afen Hoyu Boso Anes, means that the women folk brought about the miracle. Is this familiar to you? Mm-hmm. So there was a woman at the time of Chanukah by the name of Yehudis, and she gave cheese and fed cheese to this, what was his name? No, Sisro, that's Yael. It's another fellow. Maybe just slipped my mind, he has this long Greek name. It'll come to me in just a second. Okay, fine. Now, in the case of Megillah, then we have Esther, so she brought about the miracle. And in the case of Geula Mitzrayim, the mitzvah Dalet Kosos, we have Noshim Tzidkonios, Bischus Noshim Tzidkonios, Nigelu Avoseinu Mitzrayim. So in any event, again, there are two shitas here. One shita is that of Rashi. That is that women were included in, and they needed the miracle and the salvation no less than the men. They were included in the Gzeirah, they were included in the Shibud Mitzrayim, they were included in the Gzeirah of Haman, which is Noshim V'taf. So it says Noshim in the Pasuk Gzeirah of Haman or Vachashveresh. And they were included in the Yevanim because of what? Of the Gzeirah against the women folk and Tiboil Hegmon Tchil. Oh, so now it comes out the following. Whichever interpretation you'll take of Af Hein Hayu Bosa Nes, whether it's Rashi's interpretation that they were included in the decree and therefore they needed the miracle no less than the men. Or take the Rashbam's approach that they, the women folk, brought about the miracle. They were key in generating the miracle and bringing it about. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that women are included in these mitzvahs. So again, who's willing to volunteer? What are the three mitzvahs that we mentioned earlier that women are included in, despite the fact that it's a time-bound mitzvah because of Afhein Hoyvel Sonnes? Anybody raise their hand? Don, you have all three?
Hanukkah.
Purim.
And Pesach.
Pesach and Dalikosis. Okay, so in all these three cases, women are obligated. Now, if this be the case, Rabbi Osai, could a woman light Ner Chanukah on behalf of a man? What should be your knee-jerk reaction?
Yes.
Yes, why not? She's a Bar Chiyuva, just like a man. And in fact, that's more or less the structure of our sugya here, that Cheres Shot V'Katan, that lighting is meaningless. But the lighting of a woman would be meaningful. And it would sound like the Gemara is saying that we, the men folk, all the members of the household, could be Yotze with that Loka of the woman. And that seems to be the general approach in the poskim, that women could light on behalf of the men. The reason I mention this is because the Bach wants to suggest a possibility based on the Bahag. I'll explain that in a minute, that the Bahag Shita would apply not just to Purim, but also to Chanukah as well. And basically what the Bahag said was that women did not have the exact same identical obligation in Purim, in Megillah, as men do. Men have to read the Megillah, and women have to hear the Megillah. And women do not have an obligation to read the Megillah, but rather to hear the Megillah. That's the famous sheet of the Bahag. And the Bahag therefore paskins that a woman could not read a Megillah for a man because a woman doesn't share that chiyuv of kriyas ha-Megillah. Now, there are about six different interpretations that I know of as to why the Bahag insists that women are only obligated to hear the Megillah and not to read the Megillah. But we're not going to go into that now. But the question is, would the Bahag's logic apply even in the case of Ner Chanukah, that women do not share the same identical chiyuv of Ner Chanukah as men? And that's where the Bach comes up with this new idea that maybe the Bahag would apply even to Ner Chanukah. Now, in Ner Chanukah, it's very difficult to differentiate between the men and the women because Ner Chanukah doesn't lend itself to, like, split. You know, the Megillah, you have a split. You have the Kriya and you have the Shmiya, and then you can differentiate between men and women. But in the case of Ner Chanukah, it's all one mitzvah of Hadlaka, so I don't know how you're going to split it and say, well, men are obligated in this dimension in Ner Chanukah, women in this dimension. It's very difficult to say so. But the best I can do, and I'm basing myself on Yushalmi, that Yushalmi testifies about Bar Kapora, that Bar Kapora was one of the Tanoim, he used to gather together his family, and he would light the Ner Chanukah in front of them, and when it came to Megillah, he would gather together his family and read the Megillah in front of them, which means that there's a chiyuv to be mefarsem the nes in an active way, and that's the hadlaka. Women would really have, in a sense, the mitzvah to participate in the hadlaka, but not in an active way. Again, I'm just mentioning the Bach. Again, this is for a long discussion, and now we'll start the sugya of Rav Sheshes. Omer Rav Sheshes, achsenoi chayav b'ner Chanukah, which means that a guest is obligated in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Why would you think otherwise? This is the Rad's kasha. Do we find anywhere a statement that Achsanoi is chayav in tzitzis or in tefillin or in Suda Shabbos or any other mitzvah in the Torah? Why was there a havamina before Rav Sheshes came along that maybe a guest is not obligated in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Excellent. Because the Achsenoi does not have the chiyuv of Ner Chanukah in the Havamina, because Ner Yishu Beso, he doesn't have a bias. He is now living in the house of someone else. And when we say Achsenoi, it could be a person who's staying in a motel or a hotel. It could be a person who's invited as a guest in your house. Comes along Rav Sheshes and he establishes that there is a mitzvah incumbent even upon a guest. Now, I photocopied for you an essay here. I don't know if you got a copy of it. It should be two sides of one page, called Bedinach Sinoi B'Neros Chanukah. Okay, I made five copies, I think. So, do we have enough? Maybe I'm short one copy. So whoever's short a copy can photocopy this later. I can't give you my copy because then I won't be able to give the shiur. I didn't bring in the original. I thought I brought in the original, but I see it's not here. And he quotes the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, Tofresh Ayin Zainu Paskins, that even though an Achsanoi does not have a house, he's Chayev in Ner Chanuk. Okay. Now, Rav Soloveitchik is very perplexed by this halacha of Achsanoi. And maybe for the very reason that we mentioned before. He says, how do you treat the Achsanoi? Are you going to treat him like one of the Bnei Abayis? So then, if he's one of the Bnei Abayis, because now he's eating or sleeping in this host's house, then treat him like one of the Bnei Abayis. And there's no need to single out the Achsanoi. The Baal Abayis himself will light on behalf of all the Bnei Abayis. And each one of the Bnei Abayis is Yotze, at least the Ikar Mitzvah, I'm not talking about Mahadran right now, by virtue of the Adlaka of the Baal Abayis. Why then is there any need to isolate the Achsanoi and say, well, the Achsanoi has to light an Ner Chanukah? Why does he have to light an Ner Chanukah? He's considered one of the Bnei Abayis. Oh, so you'll tell me no. He's not one of the Bnei Abayis because he's only a guest who's passing through. He's not a standard, you know, fixture here in the house. No, if that be the case, then he should be exempt from the mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. You'll see in the last line, if you want to underline it, the next to the last line, he says, in Kena Mai Mechayvim Leklal Badloka. Why should he be obligated? If he's not one of the Bnei Abayis, then it means he doesn't have a bias, and if he doesn't have a bias, he's not obligated in Ner Chanukah. Meaning Rav Soloveitchik assumes here, this is the premise that underlies this whole confusion about this Gemara of Rav Sheshes, that the whole mitzvah of Ner Chanukah revolves around the bias. If you have a bias, you chayv in Ner Chanukah. If you don't, you don't. So let's offer two possibilities in terms of Achsanoi. This is what we call Mimonish. You'll see on the third line he says, Mimonim. If we're going to assume that the Achsanoi, according to Rav Sheshes, is one of the Bnei Abayis, then he should be able to be Yotze vicariously through the Adlok of the Baal Abayis, just like all the Bnei Abayis are Yotze Adlok. So why does Rav Sheshes single out the Achsanoi for an obligation that he has an obligation to light a Ner Chanukah? Why does he have to? Well, none of the Bnei Abayis have to light a Ner Chanukah. Just the Baal Abayis will represent them, and his Hadlaka will relate to each one of the Bnei Abayis. So it can't be, therefore, that Rav Sheshes identifies or classifies the Achsanoi as one of the Bnei Abayis. He singles them out for a Chiyu. No, so Rav Soloveitchik says, well, if he's not one of the Bnei Abayis, then he doesn't have a bias. And if he doesn't have a bias, then he's not Chayav in Ner Chanukah, because the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is Ner Yishuv Beiso. So basically, Rav Soloveitchik says, no matter how you slice the cake, you're really in the dark here, and you don't understand how Rav Sheshes on the one hand could isolate the Achsanoi as if he, the Achsanoi, is obligated in the midst of their Chanukah, which means that he has a bias. Well, if he has a bias, then he should be Yotze with the luck of the Baal Bias, just like all the Bnei Abayis are Yotze. And again, it's not a case where there are two batim. You know, you could have a case where, let's say, you have a home, and then you have a guest home. Have you ever seen that? I was once a guest for Shabbos in the Hamptons, which is in Long Island, New York, and the Baal Bais actually had a separate wing. Again, that's because you could afford buying in the Hamptons, right? So he had a separate wing for the guests. So if I wasn't there on Chanukah, but I'd have been there on Chanukah, then you could say, well, I have my own bias, and even though I'm Achsanoi, but nevertheless, nobody's living in that house now, right? Me. He gave it to me.
It was a separate structure, a totally separate structure.
I mean, you know, this is like Hachnosis Archim on the highest level. Mm-hmm. Actually, I had it twice in my life, once in the Hamptons and once in Los Angeles. I was in Beverly Hills, and the Baal Abayis had a separate house, separate building,
a guest house,
yeah. Just for guests. Again, I wasn't there on Chanukah, but on Chanukah, I would understand very well that now I have a bias. But here we're talking about a case where the Achsanoi doesn't have his own bias. There's no separate guest house. So he's now a guest in someone else's house. So now we have to understand what's the relationship between him, the guest, and the house. And the two ways of learning that. One way is to say that since he's a guest in the house, let's say he's eating there, he's sleeping there, whatever it is, he becomes like any other of the members of that household. You know, he's one of the Bnei Abayis. The other way is to say that no, he's just passing through. He has no bialus here. Nobody's supporting him. On the contrary, he's paying. He's not getting paid. And therefore, he's not shaykh to this bias. So if Soloveitchik says, whichever way you take it, you're not going to understand Rav Sheshes. Because if you're going to take it that he has a bias, meaning that this bias is right now on a temporary basis his bias, and therefore he's no different than anyone else who lives in the bias, even though they are permanent fixtures, and he's only passing through for a temporary basis, but nevertheless, that right now on Hanukkah, whatever day of Hanukkah it is, that's his bias. No, if that's his bias, then he doesn't have a chiyuv of Ner Chanukah. He shares the same chiyuv of Ner Chanukah as all of Bnei Abayis. And in that case, one person, let's call him the Baal Abayis, will light on behalf of everyone. Why is Rav Sheshes singling out the Achsanoi that he has to light his own Ner Chanukah? And if you're going to tell me, well, you know what? He's not. This bias is not related to him. He's just passing through. He's like flying through this place. No, then he shouldn't be chayv of Ner Chanukah at all. Because the chiyuv of Ner Chanukah is based on the assumption that you have a bias. If you don't have a bias, well, we're going to have Rashi a little bit later on this same daf about holech b'sfina. Rashi says that a sfina, a ship, is not a bias. So if you're on a cruise on Chanukah, according to Rashi, again, I don't know how the poskim are going to deal with this, la'loch, I'm just telling you Rashi, Shita, you do not have the mitzvah of haglokas Ner Chanukah because you don't have a bias. So Chanukah is not the good time for a cruise. Although it depends if you're going with your wife or without your wife. You know, if your wife is home, then she could light the Ner Chanukah in your house and you'll be yotzei the mitzvah of Chanukah. But assuming you're taking your wife along on the cruise, that's what we usually do, right?
Better.
Yeah, otherwise we're in deep trouble. I mean, she might go without you. That was my father was a rav in Bangor, Maine. That was his first rabbanus. So what was the first shaila he had? The first shaila he had as a rav was the following. There was a couple that skimped pennies for all their married life. They were Baruch Hashem, they lived as an elderly couple to an old age. And they took their money and they finally decided we're going to buy two tickets to a cruise around the world. You know, we're talking this is a true story. This is in the 1930s.
Wow.
My father got his smich in 1935. And his first rabbanus was in Bangor, Maine in 1935. What happened, as luck would have it, Erez Gishtarben, he died. So his wife came to ask my father, the new rabbi in town, my father was all of 22 years old, whether she can start sitting Shiva here and finish Shiva on the cruise.
Wow.
So when you say, you know, do you go on a cruise without your spouse, here's one case that...
didn't want to blow the money.
Yeah, I mean, they skip their whole life, so let us sit Shiva on the cruise, right? In any event, so here's the issue. You know, you have someone who doesn't have a bias, and if Rashi says a Sfino is not a bias, so then that mitzvah of Adlokas Ner Chanukah is gone. So the Achsanoi, you have to answer the following question. Does he have a bias or does he not have a bias? He's away from his house and he's temporarily in a hotel, or he's a guest in someone's house. So if Soloveitchik says, if he's considered, you know, on that temporary basis, considered one of the Bnei Abayis, he's no different. So why does he have to light his own Ner? If, on the other hand, he's not considered one of the Bnei Abayis, then he's like the case of Rashi of Holif Besfina, he doesn't have a bias, he's not Chayiv in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So the Rav says the following. Now, for this next paragraph, Amuchach, you're going to have to put on what I call the Brisker thinking caps. He says the following, HaMuchach Mavur Mizeh, what we have to prove and establish based on this sugya of Rav Sheshes, is the Omnam, Ikar Achiv Ner Chanukah Lahalik Bebeso, Bechdei Sheyia Ner Chanukah Dolek Bechol Bayis Ubayis. So the general agenda of Chachomim when they institute the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah was to make sure that every single Bayis B'Yisrael would have a Ner Dolek. Avol no saflas, but they went a step further. Yeshgam chovas gavra. I think, Reuben, you mentioned this once in the past, the Chovas Gavra. Lahadlik ner Chanukah, v'chol ish ish chayav v'maisa adloka. Now, I think what the Rav is saying is that even if your obligation is not vis-a-vis the bias, because let's say you don't have a bias, you still have a chiyuv of a maisa adloka, because that Chovas Gavra remains independent of the, you know, the hey dolek b'chol bias u'bias. You know, you have two dimensions to the enactment to the mitzvah that Rabbanan establishes in Ner Chanukah. One dimension is that every bias has to be equipped with a Ner Chanukah, but there's another obligation that's incumbent upon every single individual, which he calls a Chovas Gavra, that he has to light and do the Maisa Adloka. Now, if that be the case, you know, he's got to get himself some sort of a place to fulfill this mitzvah. That's what Rav Sheshes is, shall I say, addressing. Rav Sheshes is operating with the premise that each individual, and the Achsanoy no less than anyone else, has an obligation, an individual obligation, to light Ner Chanukah. But the problem in the Achsanoy case is that he doesn't have a bias. So how could he fulfill and implement this Chovas Gavra? That's what Rav Sheshes wants to address and find a solution to that question. As far as the other Bnei Abayis, each one who has a Chovas Gavra, an individual obligation to light the Ner Chanukah, they can be Yotzi with Hadloka of the Bala Bayis. Why? Because the Hadloka Bala Bayis is like a communal Hadloka, right? That fulfills the mitzvah that there should be a Ner Dolek in this Bayis. So Rav Sheshes understood very well that although the Bnei Abayis could be Yotzi through the Hadloka of one of the people of the bias, let's call the Bala bias, that's called Neri Shubeso, and then the Bais Adloka of the Bala bias is Chal, meaning it relates, and it's valid for each one of the Bnei bias. So each one of the Bnei bias has fulfilled his personal individual obligation of Bais Adloka, but in the case of the Achsenoi, and here I'm on the left column if you're following the text, Aval Achsenoi, Mikeman She'en Lo bias, what are we going to do? All we're left with is a Chovas Gavra. So we have this Chovas Gavra that's sort of like, you know, suspended in midair. You know, the Chovas Gavra has no possible implementation. You know, there's no concrete way in which that Chovas Gavra, which is abstract, can be fulfilled because he doesn't have a bias. And if he doesn't have a bias, again, the problem of getting a ner dolok in the bias is not his problem. That's not the Achsenoy's headache. The Bala bias will surely fulfill that obligation on behalf of all the Bnei bias, and therefore the Chovas ner ishu beso means that every bias, including this one, should be equipped with a ner chanukah. That was fulfilled via the Bala bias, but the Achsenoy doesn't have a bias. So therefore the adloka of the Bala bias is not going to be meaningful for the Achsenoy. And that's the problem that Rav Sheshes is addressing. Now, a similar problem, again, it's hard for us to relate to this sociology, but back in the day, there were people, I guess you'd call them in our terminology, homeless people, and they slept, anybody know where they slept? Not in the streets, in the shul. Exactly. I don't know. Is there anyone here in this room who recognizes in his shul the minhag of reciting Havdalah, or even Kiddush on Shabbos in the Beis HaKnesses? Yeah, you have that minhag? The reason for that is because back in the day, people would sleep in the shul. So they didn't have a place to recite Kiddush. So there had to be a communal Havdalah, or let's go back to Kiddush, a communal Kiddush on behalf of all the Archim, all the guests. So Rav Soloveitchik is going to ask, what do we do with those guests as far as Ner Chanukah is concerned? They don't have a home. And not only that, they're not in a place where the Bala Bayis is going to light. So it's not even a Hava Mina that they could be Yotze with that luck of the Bala Bayis, because they're living in the shul. So Rav Soloveitchik, in the next paragraph, wants to break new ground here. And he wants to say that the reason why we light Ner Chanukah in the shul is for the same reason for those who observe that custom, that we recite Kiddush in the shul, namely for the sake of who? Of the Archim. And now you're going to have to assume that the Beis HaKnesses itself, Beit HaKnesset, is a bayit. And that's pretty radical. He says, Lefi Zed, the next paragraph, Hayanira Lomer, the after Kaimalon, the Ain Adam Yotze, Bad Lokas, Neris Kanish, Bad Lika Bebeza, Knesset, Shere Lo Hoysa, Had Loka Bebeza. Right, let's say I have a home, but I go to Dab Mincha Mayav in the Shul on Leil Chanukah. So I listen and I hear and I see that Loka in the Beza Knesset. So the poskim say, I'm not Yotze, I have to go home and light my house. Mikomoka, however, in the case of an Achsenoi, She Ain Lo Bias, Shapir Yotzi de Chovaso. Again, we're assuming that even though he doesn't have a bias, he has the Chovas Gavra. And the Rav wants to suggest that he could be Yotzi his mitzvah, his Chovas Gavra, through the Adloka of the Beis HaKnesses. In other words, we have the following halachic category or scenario. Someone who doesn't have the bias, but yet at least he has one dimension of Ner Chanukah, namely the Chovas Gavra of the Mais Hadlaka, although he doesn't have a bias. And the Halacha is going to bend over backwards and try to find solutions to this dilemma, you know, try to find a way out of this dilemma, to reconcile the fact that on the one hand we impose upon him a Chovas Gavra of Hadlaka, on the other hand he cannot fulfill that because he doesn't have a bias. So one way we're going to bend over backwards is going to be for this Achsenot. And we'll see exactly how Rav Sheshis is going to solve that problem. But in another case, in the Beis HaKnesses, where you're living in the Beis HaKnesses, then we're going to solve that problem, and we're going to bend over backwards and allow you to consider the Beis HaKnesses as your bias, such that now you yotze with Adloka in the Beis HaKnesses. Again, this is all based on the premise that you have a chiyuv, even though you don't have a bias, because of the Chovas Gavra. So how do you fulfill that Chovas Gavra? The answer is just find some neros, you know, which again, in order to be neros Chanukah, they have to be in a bias. So, but we're going to really stretch it very far, and we're going to say that the neros that are lit in the Beis HaKnesses, they are neros Chanukah, and they have the full status of neros Chanukah. And if the neros in the Beis HaKnesses have the full fledged status of neros Chanukah, then we're going to go one step further. We're going to say that if they have the status of a Ner HaKnesses, it must be in a bias, because there's no such thing as Ner HaKnesses without a bias. So we're going to have to upgrade the Beis HaKnesses to the status of the bias, and that's going to facilitate the Archiv to be Yotze their mitzvah of Chovas Gavra through the Hadlaka in the Beis HaKnesses. Why? Because those Neros are Neros HaKnesses. That's what he says at the bottom of here. Call Sheyesh al Neros Chalo Shem Diner Chanukah. We're turning on to the next side. Is Yachal Latzeis Yedei Chovaso? Through this Hadlaka, he can fulfill his mitzvah. Wow! And it's all based on two premises. Number one, that he, the Oreach, has the status of a Chovas Gavra. Number two, that the Beis HaKnesses has the status of a bias as far as Ner Chanukah is concerned. So when you light a candle in the Beis HaKnesses, now again, what would be in our contemporary life where nobody's living in the Beis HaKnesses? We're still going to light the candles in the Beis HaKnesses. And we're gonna and you're admitting, Jerry, that we're gonna still make kiddush. When was the last time you saw anyone who was yotze with a kiddush in shul? And he didn't make kiddush when he got home.
Well, for people who don't make kiddush at home.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That we're not talking about that. But you're right. You know, that's an interesting thing. I'll tell you the truth. I'm not 100% sure if that works. Meaning, I don't know if someone who goes home could be yotze his chi of kiddush. Yet there is a similarity between Kiddush and Ner Chanukah. I don't want to take this equation all the way, but what it means is that if somebody is eating in the synagogue and that's where he lives, then the Kiddush can relate to him because of what's called the Makom Suda. Again, you have to stretch it a little on Makom Suda, because the Kiddush is going to be in the what's it called? The synagogue itself. What's the word for that?
Sanctuary.
The sanctuary, right. The Kiddush is going to be in the sanctuary. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Ben, because I haven't heard the word sanctuary in like probably 20 years. Sanctuary. Brings back memories. Sanctuary. So the Kiddush is going to be in the sanctuary, and he's going to eat down in the basement or in the chadar ochel, you know, wherever the lunchroom is, you know, the catering hall, whatever it is. So I don't know exactly, you know, we're going to have to stretch it as far as Makom Suda is concerned. But somebody's going home and he's in his suda at home, I don't know. I'm not sure how that Kiddush is going to work. But again, I don't want to get off on a tangent. We're not learning Hilchos Kiddush, Baruch Hashem. That would require another month of learning. But as far as the laws of Chanukah is concerned, what happens is that since this Orech is living in the shul, he will be Yotze in that shul insofar as the shul becomes a bias for him. And therefore, the Adlok of the Beis HaKnesses on behalf of the Orechim is meaningful. They can be Yotze their Chiyu. Now, if he goes home and he's not an Oreach, he's got a light near Hanukkah when he gets home. Does he get any mitzvah whatsoever by participating in Adlok in the Beis HaKnesses? I don't know. Offhand, I would say zero, zippo, because that's not his bias. But in the case of an Oreach, we could upgrade that, the status of the Beis HaKnesses, to a bias.
In the case of the Oreach in somebody's house, there's a Chumas Gavra, we said.
Right.
Couldn't the Bala Bias have Kavana to be Motzi him, and he's Motzi by answering Amen?
So I don't know why, but I'll tell you what the answer is. No. I don't know why not. Take a look at the next line in the Gemara. Amar Rav Zera. Meiresh, this is before he got married, when he was what we call a Bachar, Ki Havina Be Rav, when I would, in my youth, I would stay with my Rebbe, I was in his house, and I was his guest, then how did I fulfill my mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Mishtatafna Beprite Behadi Ushpiza. I would chip in for the oil with a pruta. That's a minimum amount of mama. We'll get back to this in just a second. But Basar Denesive is, so once I got married to a woman, I declared, Hashtavade Lotzrich, I don't have to chip in and be Yotze with that luck of the Rebbe. And why is that? To come Madlik Ale, but go Beisai. Because she's going to light on my behalf back in my house, and I'm going to be Yotze vicariously through her Adloka. Which again would seem to indicate that a woman shares the same exact identical Chiyuv in Ner Chanukah as a man. Otherwise, how is her Adloka meaningful for him? And the Vach is going to have to face the music on this. But what does it mean to be Mishtatef Bepruta? So it means that it's not enough for the Oreach, for the Yachsanoi, just to say to the Baal Bais, you know what, I appoint you as my Shliach. You light on my behalf. That can't work, because Rav Shesha says that there's a Chiyuv on the Yachsanoi, as an individual Chiyuv, and that he has a Chovas Gavra, as we said before, and somehow he's got to fulfill that Chovas Gavra through the Bais. But, says Rav Zeri, he doesn't have to light his own candle in a sense of a candle that's exclusive for him. You know, this is John's candle. But what he has to do is, he has to share the candle. He has to become a partner in the candle. How does he become a partner in the candle? He adds a pruta, he puts down a pruta on the table, and the Baal Bais picks up the pruta, and the Baal Bais says, I'm being machnet to you, I'm transferring ownership to you on a pruta's worth of the shemen. Now the shemen that's being lit is a partnership deal between the Baal Bais and the Achsenoi. Once that happens, then somehow, I don't know exactly how, that's why I told you I'm missing that piece of the puzzle, so I'm stalling till tomorrow, and that is that somehow, amazingly, through that partnership, now the Baal Bais could light on behalf of John, and John is Yotze with the Baal Bais' Adloka. Meaning that there are two dinim in Adloka's Ner Chanukah. One is the actual Bais Adloka, and the other is the ownership over the Ner. And the ownership over the Shemen of the Ner is enough to link up that Adloka to you. And it doesn't work midin shlucho shaladim kemoso. So the concept of shlichus is not going to be operative here, but the concept that my nair should be lit, and it doesn't matter whether I light it or you light it, that's okay. Rav Salvation in this article, and with this we'll conclude, he writes at the end of the paragraph HaMuchrach, going back to the first page, make sure you're on the first page. You see the paragraph HaMuchrach? Right, that's the main paragraph. So I got up to four lines before the end of the paragraph, and I deliberately skipped those lines because I wanted to read Rav Zera. Umishum Hachi says, Olav lishtatef bepruta ima balabais. How does the Oreach, this Achsenoi, fulfill his personal obligation, Chovas Gavra of Ner Chanukah? He chips in to the Balabais' Shemen by giving a pruta, and therefore, since the Balabais has a Chovas Hadlokah bebeso, which again, in the case of the Oreach, we're in trouble here, because the Oreach only has a Chovetz Kaver, he doesn't have Beso. But Al Yedeish Tatzvus Bepruta Hu Chashiv Kishlucha L'Maisa Hadlaka. Somehow, magically, the Hadlaka of the Baal HaBayis now relates to the Achsonoi. Again, not in the same way it relates to the other Bnei HaBayis. In the case of the other Bnei HaBayis, it's one Hadlaka on behalf of the entire Bayis. This Achsonoi doesn't have a Bayis. But what we do is, we allow the Baal HaBayis to represent the Achsonoi in implementing the Maisa Hadlaka. Now it relates to the Achsonoi. And how does that, you know, what's the mechanics? How does that work? Through Ishtatfus Bepruta. That although to appoint someone, in this case for the Achsonoi, to appoint the Baal HaBayis, say, I hereby declare that you be my shliach, you be my agent and represent me for that look, that doesn't operate. But what does operate is Hishtakfus Bepruta. The only trouble is that Rav Soloveitchik here becomes very short-winded. He becomes very abridged. He doesn't tell you why. He doesn't give you an insight at this point as to why the Hishtakfus Bepruta now obviates the, or replaces the need for shlichus. He doesn't tell you how that operates. So I'm hoping that between now and tomorrow we'll find somewhere in this article that he'll explain that. So far I didn't find it, but I'm hoping that by tomorrow we'll find it. Okay, Rav Moshe, we'll stop here. Okay, and I'll wish everyone a great day.
Thank you.
If you could hold on to this Hare Kedem because we didn't finish it, or you want to give it to me and I'll give it out again tomorrow, that's fine. Any questions so far?